So it matters how we live. And listen, it matters how we do church. We've got to strive as local churches to do church God's way as recorded in the Scriptures and not our way. You know, there's a lot of us that could come up with some really, you know, good ideas for the church. And God may be in some of that, but our standard of what we do as church is in the Scriptures, because it's Jesus' church, not my church, not your church. And so Christ is teaching us these last few weeks about unity. It is Jesus' desire as the head of the church that the body be as one. And you just can't get around that. We just heard our brother Steve read from John 17. Before Jesus went to the cross, what was He praying about? He prayed for every follower that would ever come after the apostles. That's us. And He said, Lord, Father, make them one. Amen? Make them one. And so if Jesus prayed, make the church one, and if Paul is instructing the Roman church, and he does so in Philippians and everywhere you go, Corinthians, if that is so important to Jesus and the apostles, shouldn't unity and love be important to us in the local church? It's more important than us getting our own way or, you know, whatever, our disagreements. We disagree sometimes, but it matters what we do when we disagree. So that's what Romans 14 and 15 is all about. These early church believers, they have Jews and Gentiles, and they're trying to figure out stuff. And Paul said, that's okay. But in all of your figuring out of your secondary issues, act as one in what matters. I would like to say that to us today. In all of our figuring stuff out during these unprecedented times in which we live, in all of our figuring stuff out, act as one. Amen? Did you guys hear that online? Write that down. Take it to heart. That's God's word for Jesus' church. So He's talking in chapter 15 about enduring in our pursuit of unity together, not quitting on each other when it gets hard. So let's read our text today. We've already focused on the first half of this text. Today is really part two. We're going to focus on Paul's prayer for unity in verses 5 and 6. But let's read the whole 7 verses of Romans 15. And I want you to take this to heart this morning. God's Word says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings, literally the weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor, and that's in the context of the church. Please your fellow church members for his good, to build him up. That should be our focus. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches or insults of those who reproached or insulted you, God, Jesus said, fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. That's the Old Testament specifically. That through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now look at Paul's prayer in verse 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ welcomed you, for the glory of God. And so this message this morning, I'm calling it, Make Us One. Christians don't quit on each other, part two. I think that's what this text is about. Amen? Everybody all right so far? Well, let's look at what we covered last week, building into Paul's prayer today. First of all, we saw instructions for endurance. Paul gave some instructions to the church to endure in loving each other. In other words, you can love each other for a little while, but if you quit, that's not the mark. That's not what we're supposed to do. Paul and the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is calling the church to pursue love and unity as an ongoing practice. An ongoing practice to work out our problems in the church, because Jesus is worth it. The word endure that he keeps using, it means steadfastness, perseverance, patience with each other. That Greek word I told you last week, it's built on a root word, meno, that means to remain or to stay. And so, man, that speaks so loudly and clearly to me as a pastor. Whenever we run into problems with each other in the church, we want to bolt out the door sometimes, because it's awkward and it's difficult to admit that we're wrong or to forgive someone that is wrong. Amen? I mean, we're just getting real this morning. That's how it feels. Church is messy. Church is imperfect. And church is inconvenient. And church is sometimes hurtful. But church is what Christ has called us to be and to do together. And so we've got to just face it and walk through it when it's hard. That's what these two chapters are all about. I'm not just coming up with this on my own. Paul is calling us to an ongoing commitment to an imperfect local church. And by the way, whatever local church you're a part of, if I'm speaking online there, whatever local church you're a part of, it's an imperfect church. We'll be perfect one day when Christ returns, but not today. Instead, we should be making progress towards that. So this is not a suggestion, but a command. We have an obligation to bear with each other and please others. So that's Paul's instructions for endurance. But then we saw last week that he gave us three ingredients of endurance. Three ingredients. Three resources. In other words, how am I going to be in it to win it till the dust settles? How can I endure in a local church without getting mad and leaving? Paul gives us three ways to hang in there till the end. And by the way, it is my prayer, not only that when the dust settles, I will still be standing, that I won't give up and quit on you, but that each one of you will still be standing strong when the dust clears. Amen? And I'm talking about the dust of everything 2020 has to throw at us. But whatever, I mean, guys, the church has had to walk through terrible, difficult things in the last 2,000 years. Amen? And by God's grace, we're still standing. The church has not been defeated or eradicated from the earth. Jesus said, I will build my church, and what? The gates of hell will not stand against it. So we're fighting from the victory, but we got to fight. We can't quit. We can't let something as small in the big scheme of things as COVID dampen our commitment to the Lord and His people. We can't let something as small in the big picture as hurts and opinions and things like that to cause our commitment to Jesus to be less now than it was before all this stuff broke out. So I encourage you, fan the flame back up in your soul. I say that again to everybody listening. Fan the flame back up. Don't let the enemy knock you out with whatever 2020 has to throw at us. Here's three ingredients Paul gives us to keep standing. The first one is the exercise of selflessness. You will not last in a local church if you are looking to yourself. You will look at your hurts. You will look at, I didn't get my way, or that person looked at me wrong, or nobody invited me out to lunch, or they didn't go with my idea, or I don't agree with the way this was done, or I don't like this, or that song, or fill in the blank, 1,000 different things. If you are looking at yourself, you won't last in an imperfect local church. Sooner or later, the Holy Spirit will direct each one of us to take our eyes off of ourselves and look at the greater good. Amen? And that's what we want to do. That is maturity. To quit on each other over small things is a sign of great spiritual immaturity. And so we've got, but we're all susceptible to it, by the way. Even mature Christians sometimes, man, we get our feathers ruffled and it's hard to get that focus back off ourselves. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm really good at throwing a pity party from time to time. Are you guys good pity partiers also? And, you know, that's a sin. And we just have to call it what it is. Look away from yourself. Keep no record of wrongs, Paul says in Corinthians 10. The exercise of selflessness. The second ingredient is the example of Jesus, man. And I think this is top on the list. This is when we look away from ourselves and put our eyes on Jesus, we will receive the strength we need to keep going in the local church because He is the ultimate example. He humbled Himself to the maximum degree from the greatest place of glory this universe has ever known to the lowest place of humility. That's quite a journey Jesus took. Amen? He lowered Himself from equality with God, put on the nature of a human, put on humanity, and He didn't just become a man, He became a humble man. He served others. And He didn't just serve others, He went to the point of death, even death on a cross, the most shameful, I mean dying naked in front of a public crowd with insults being heaped upon you, your father turning his back when you bore our sin. You can't go any lower, and Jesus went there for you and for me, for us. Amen? When you put your eyes on that, when you lift your eyes off of your pity party and look to Jesus, you will find new wind in your sails to get back in the fight for Jesus and His church. Amen? You will find strength that you didn't know you had because you didn't, but it's in the Lord and He will help you through. Amen? Christ did not please Himself, Paul writes. I could preach you 1,000 sermons on that phrase. Christ did not please Himself. But I won't preach 1,000 sermons on that text, much to your relief. Amen. The encouragement of Scriptures is the third ingredient. If you're going to make it in a local church with people who sometimes say dumb things to you, can we face it? We've all had somebody that came up and maybe they meant well, but they said something and it was just the wrong thing. And if we're honest, how many times have we been that person that said the wrong thing? We've offended people and we've gotten offended. But the third ingredient to get past that is to stay in the book, to stay in the Scriptures. Because just when we feel like giving up, we meet God in the Scriptures, and God doesn't give up. Amen? God will not quit on us. God will not quit on His church. And so the God who loves His church and gave His Son for the church and will never quit on the church speaks to us through the Scriptures so we can stay and persevere in the church. Amen? That is what we focused on last week, and today we're going to move our focus to verses 5 and 6. We've seen the instructions to endure. We've seen the ingredients of how we can endure. But today we're going to look at the intercession for endurance. This is Paul's intercession. An intercession is a prayer for somebody. He's praying for the Roman Christians, and therefore, since his prayers are inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's writing down the Word of God. His prayer is for all the church. It's a prayer for us today. A prayer for unity that God's church would be one. And so my intention right now for the rest of this sermon, we're just going to walk phrase by phrase through Paul's prayer and then we'll be done. The first phrase, actually I passed it already. There we go. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in this unity. What do we learn from focusing on Paul's prayer, the way he started his prayer? Well, the first thing we see is that Paul's prayer is God-focused and not us-focused. Do you notice that Paul didn't start by talking to the Christians in his prayer, hey, you guys be one. He talks to God. God make them one. What does that teach us? Unity is not something we can do. Unity is something God must grant to us. Amen? Unity is a gift from God. When you see a local church walking in unity and love, that is a blessing from the Father. And we, by the way, if Paul prays for that and Jesus prays for that, why are we not praying for that? Maybe we are. I want to encourage you, since God brought us to this text of Scripture these last few weeks, at this time in our lives, let's commit to praying for unity and love in our church together. Would you do that, brothers and sisters? You guys online, whether you're a member of our church or not, hey, would you remember us in your prayers? And if you're a part of another local church, commit to pray for your church for the gift of unity. Because God is the God of endurance, He can give us endurance. Because God is the God of encouragement, He can give us encouragement. Amen? Another really interesting thing to note about this, John Murray brought this out. He said that in verse 4, where Paul's talking about the encouragement of the Scriptures, he said that the Scriptures give us endurance and encouragement. The Scriptures do. But now in his prayer, he says God gives it. Well, which is it, Paul? What gives us encouragement and endurance? The Scriptures or God? You think Paul just forgot what he had said? Is he contradicting himself? No. God gives encouragement and endurance through the Scriptures. Amen? So God works through the Bible. And so Paul is praying, Father, grant them this unity. Let's move to the next part of the phrase of this prayer. And it is to live in such harmony with one another. To live in such harmony with one another. The Greek word translated harmony by the ESV literally means this: to think the same thing among one another. To think the same thing among one another. So what is Paul praying for? Paul is praying for God to bring all the members of the church to the same page in our thinking. That we focus together on what really matters. Abandoning our death grip on our opinions and our self-interests to get on the same page with each other over what really matters in the church. Isn't that beautiful? Hey, he's teaching you how to pray for your church. God, bring our thinking to the same page around what really matters in the church. Help us all to think the same thing. That's harmony. He's using vivid musical terminology. So we're going to get a little musical in the sermon this morning as far as our illustrations, because that's what Paul is using. And he uses the word harmony here. So what is harmony when we think of music? So harmony is when several musical notes combine in a pleasing way. That's Merriam-Webster's definition, or a paraphrase of it. When several different notes on the piano or the guitar or in your voice, when they combine and it sounds good, that's harmony. You play them all together and they don't clash, but they go together. It fits. It works. There is a beautiful quality to it. So we understand that from music. So think about that in the church. When all of our different lives combine in a way that is pleasing and beautiful. You're a note, and you're a note, and you're a note, and you're a note. And when we all live out our faith together, when it doesn't clash, We're living in harmony. Does that make sense to you, brothers and sisters? Paul is showing us something here. Now, what do we have when it clashes? It's no longer harmony, but it's what we call dissonance or distortion. You all probably have heard a sound that you could tell, even if you're not a musical person, you're like, that's not good. You know, I've had people, they can't sing, can't carry a tune in a bucket, but they're like, I know that's not right. You know, something's off. You guys are just making noise. So we can tell when there's no harmony. Now, what a picture for the local church. Paul is saying, may God grant that we live in harmony with each other. Single-minded agreement around the Lord so that there is a pleasing and beautiful sound coming from our local church. Guys, I wonder if the neighbors in our neighborhood, when they see us, because the world is watching Christians, when they see what we're posting on Facebook, when they see how we interact when we come across each other at Walmart, or, you know, when they look at our church, are they hearing harmony or dissonance? Is it a beautiful sound that just draws you in and makes them want to listen? Or does it make people want to cover their ears and run in the other direction? And the second question would be, what are you adding to the song of the church? Are you bringing harmony to the song of the church? Or are you clanging on a gong over here on your own thing? And it don't sound good. And stop it, please, right? People want to plug their ears and run away. Are you bringing harmony or dissonance to your church's song? Okay, let's move on to the next phrase. Paul is going to build on this, so remember that. He says next, live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. Now listen, I think that we're tempted to skip over this phrase and get back to the musical illustration. But Paul is not giving us some filler words right here. This may be the most important phrase in the whole prayer. It shows us what our unity is built around. Do you see it? Everybody look at your Bible or look at the screen there. What is our song supposed to be? It's one thing to just say, well, we want to sing in harmony together with our lives. But what song are we going to sing? We can be singing a beautiful song and be united around the wrong thing. And I think that's a danger for churches today. We can forget the gospel. We can forget Christ, focus on Him. And we can focus around things like, you know, feeding the hungry. It's a good thing to do, but it's not the main thing. Amen? Or you know, fill in your blank with any good thing that's not the main thing. If our church has harmony around the wrong thing, we haven't yet arrived at what God wants us to look like. Paul says our harmony should be in accord with Christ Jesus. The church should be built around, rallying around, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what matters most. So are we singing with our lives about Christ? That is so important for us. We don't have to agree over the small secondary issues and opinions. Our harmony doesn't have to be around those small things. Notice that Paul didn't pray for them to all agree on whether to eat the food or not. That is surprising. He didn't say, Lord, let them all agree, Gentiles and Jews, whether they can eat of the food codes or not. He let them disagree over that one. He didn't even pray about it. He did act call them to love each other through it and work it out. Isn't that amazing, though? What's more important than the Roman church figuring out what foods to eat? It's more important for them to unify around the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? And so we have room for unity among diversity. We can have different opinions on secondary things, but we have to have the same opinion, the same mind on the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. Amen? Now, I thought you guys would be a little bit more vocal on that one. So don't fade out on me there. Amen. Amen. John Calvin made a comment here that it was so beautiful and helpful, I think, that I wanted to share that with you. He said, for he, Jesus, having received or welcomed not just one or two of us, but all together, he has thus connected us so that we ought to cherish one another. Only thus then shall we confirm our calling. That is, if we separate not ourselves from those whom the Lord has bound together. Isn't that awesome? Jesus has so connected all of the members of the church so that we ought to cherish one another. And we can only fulfill our calling if we don't separate ourselves from those the Lord has united together. It's unity around Christ. Robert Mounts adds this, as each member of the church draws closer to Jesus, we will at the same time draw closer to the other members of the body. When Brother Steve over here is getting closer to Jesus in his walk with the Lord, and Miss Nioka, you know, maybe she's not even talking to Steve this week, but she's also growing closer to Jesus. And right, when Kim over here and so-and-so, when all of us down the line, when we're all getting closer to Jesus, that's going to increase the unity of our church, because when we grow to Jesus, we're growing to each other together. You can't get close to Jesus and be far from the church. Do you believe that? 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. If you have abandoned fellowship with the church, you are not having fellowship with Jesus. That's one of the tests of fellowship John gives us in 1 John. All right, the next part of the prayer, let's move on. That together, now hang on preacher, you're just focusing on two words there. Together. Actually, I'm going to focus on one. That's an important one. So we need to be singing in harmony around Jesus Christ together. Why do we need to focus on that word? Because the aim of Paul's prayer is unifying us in a local church that results in praise and glory to God, and he's bringing the figurative language of music back in to help us understand what this looks like in our church family. When he uses the word together, listen to me, Paul is saying that there's no solos in the song of the church. No solos in the church. Rather, this is the job for a choir. Are you picking up what I'm saying here? Paul says, I want you all singing about Jesus. Now, if we stop right there, we could say, amen. So I can go home and sing my song all week long, and I don't need you rascals. The song is not a solo. It's a multi-layered, complex song that calls for the whole choir to sing together. I think too many people are trying to glorify God as a solo act. But there's no room for that in the plan of God for His church. No Christian exists alone. We are a body. It's not pleasing or acceptable to God to forget the rest of the choir and go sing all by yourself. Now, yes, we're individuals and we have to have personal faith in Jesus. Amen. But when we come to Jesus, He baptizes us into a church. So your life is part of the choir. So train your thinking not to think in terms of a solo act. I mean, yeah, you got to go sing your part. But your part plus my part plus your part plus their part comes together, and that makes the harmony. Amen? You tired of this musical illustration yet? Boy, I hope not. The next part says this. That together what? You may with one voice. With one voice. Let's look at this. Get back to our choir illustration here. Not only is the life of a local church described as everybody singing together, but listen to me. This only works if we're all singing the same song. This only works if we're singing the same song. Now imagine with me, I want to drive this point home. Imagine a big choir up here this morning. Like 100-member choir or, you know, whatever it is. And every choir member is singing as loud as they can, all at the same time, except there's one little problem. Every member of the choir is singing a different song. What do you think, Jimmy, Becca? Is that going to work? 100 members of the choir, they're all singing as passionately as they can, and they're doing choreography, and they're really, you know, sincere about it, and they're glorifying God, but every choir member is singing a different song. So you got a dude over here, and he's singing the national anthem, okay? Oh, say, can you see? And he's getting after it. And then you got a lady over here, and she's singing like Motown, you know, blues and stuff, at the same time. And here's a guy back here, and he's rapping. You know, he's really throwing down. He's rapping really well. And he's standing right next to a lady singing opera. And then there's a guy with a country song over here. And they're all singing at the same time. You tell me, how's that going to sound? It's not going to work, is it? Each member of that choir may be really talented, but it doesn't work when you're singing a different song at the same time. Okay? Nobody wants to hear that. It's not harmony. It's not beautiful. It's just noise. That is not unity. Now, sadly, listen to me, this might just describe the reality going on in many local churches. One guy over here, he's really passionate about missions. And so he's calling the whole church, come with me, you know, let's get after missions. And then a lady over here is super excited about women's Bible study, and she's hitting that as hard as she can. Another person is all about the gifts of the Spirit, and that's all they ever talk about. And here's somebody else, they can't be quiet about, you know, we all need to homeschool our kids, or, you know, this pet project or this. Then you got a politics guy, and you got a sports guy. Then you got the vegan, organic, I can't come to any potlucks with you guys person. Then you got your cage stage Calvinist over here trying to convert everybody to that. Listen, everybody wants the rest of the church to get on board with their thing. And the rest of the church doesn't get it like I do. And everybody's talking over each other. And the world, meanwhile, is watching and listening, and it's noise. And they're covering their ears because we're all singing a different song. Now, some of those things are important, and they have a place in the church. I mean, we're crying out loud, we've got to be about missions. Women's Bible study, amen, amen. But do you see, when we make that our song, and we come together and we want to argue about our pet projects or our thing that we think is important, we're talking over each other and we're missing the song of the church. And we're singing our song as loud as we can and as passionately as we can, but we're not joining in with the song of the church. Does that make sense to you this morning? There are good things that, but if we fight over good things, we've missed the best thing. This is not, I'm not telling us to abandon missions or, you know, good things in the church. What I'm asking us to do, based on what Paul is praying for, is that we aren't trying to sing a solo in the church, but that we're willing sometimes to maybe, you know, take a step back and listen to what the church is singing, what the Lord is leading, and make sure we're singing the gospel as loud as we can. That we're singing the glory of Christ as loud as we can. And I'm adding my part, and you're adding your part. And instead of all of us singing different songs as loud as we can, and they don't go together, Instead, we end up singing different parts to the same song. So the bass goes with the tenor, and the alto, and the soprano, and they're all working together, and that is what Paul is praying for in the church at Rome. We got Jews and Gentiles, and some want to eat this food, and some don't, and some want to meet on the Sabbath day of Friday night to Saturday. Others want to meet on the first day of the week when Jesus rose from the dead, and yeah, that's all good stuff. But Paul is saying you've got to be granted from God to have harmony. Amen? Are you hearing Paul's prayer this morning? And that takes selflessness for each of us to lay down our big thing and join the church in singing the thing, which is Christ crucified, buried, and raised. So that our neighbors are looking over here and they see us, even when our politics are maybe different from member to member, they see a love that blows their mind. They see a church working together and it sounds beautiful. It looks like a choir and everybody's adding their part, but they're not stepping on the other parts. Oh man, what a vision! Do you think you can pray this prayer that Paul prayed for our church? Do you think you could add that to your prayer list? You know, it wouldn't take a whole lot of effort to memorize these two verses. And to pray that. And to say, Lord, show me when I'm trying to sing a solo. Lord, show me when I'm trying to step on the other parts to get the spotlight and sing my song instead of your song, the song of the church. Maybe do a little self-reflection. I didn't get chosen for a solo in this song, so I'm angry and I'm not going to, you know, or whatever. But rather to say, you know what? It's not about me. It's about the song. The gospel. Yeah. Amen. There's one last part to this prayer and we'll finish up. What is the song? What's the purpose of all this? He says that together with one voice you may do what? Glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we unify around Jesus. For the glory of God. Amen? Young people, you want purpose in your life? You want to know why you're alive? It's to glorify God through Jesus. Older people, how you want to finish strong? To glorify God through Jesus Christ. People in the middle, male, female, black, white, everybody in the church, this is our one unifying thing. We exist for the glory of God in Christ. The glory of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the name of the song. And we're going to sing it. We're going to sing it hard, amen? We're going to sing it loud for a world that's watching. And when somebody hurts me in the church, that's okay. I'm going to feel a sting, but what am I going to do? According to this last few weeks in Romans 14 and 15, by God's grace, I'm going to forgive them. Amen? I'm going to look away from myself and say, that, you know what? The ultimate goal of the church here is bigger than me and my feelings and my way and my opinions. And I'm going to join in the song of the church because God's glory is worth me getting hurt. God's glory is worth me not getting my way. God's glory is worth whatever price God asked me to pay. Man, God's glory is worth it. And it is absolutely beautiful when the song comes together. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians 1:27 and we'll be done. I don't have this on the screen, but I want you to look Philippians chapter 1, one verse, verse 27. This is not just Paul's prayer for the Roman church. I want to show you how beautifully Paul words this for the Philippian believers. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Paul writes, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." I think actually maybe I do have it. Sorry, I do have it up here, but that's good. You turned in your Bible, now you know where it is. Amen. "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent," what? "I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." Isn't that a direct line to what he just prayed to in the Romans 15? Paul said, "I want you to sing so hard that I'll hear your song even if I can't come visit you, church. I want to hear your song from far away." What do I want to hear? That you are standing firm in one spirit, right? With one mind. That's harmony. One mind. Striving. Striving is a word that means fight. We want churches fighting? Yes, but not against each other. It's good for churches to fight, but just not against each other. What are we to fight for? Fighting side by side for the faith of the gospel. You see that? Fighting side by side. I love that imagery. It's guys in the trenches together, side by side. They're not trying to each get in the spotlight. It's side by side. One mind, one spirit or heart, one song we're singing, the gospel. Do you see it this morning, guys? Do you feel the Holy Spirit putting this vision in us? This is God's Word. This is God's vision for God's church. I want to get on board. Striving together, side by side, for the faith of the gospel. So how do we apply this morning? That's the message. It's Paul's prayer. The question today is, hey, what are we singing? What is your life singing in the church? And I got two groups in mind here based on what Paul said. Maybe we have some people who have stopped singing altogether. Is that you? Maybe you're fading away from the church. You're on the brink of giving up. Maybe you're even here this morning, but in your heart, you're checked out. You stopped singing long ago. You haven't brought your part to the big song. You're content to sit on the bench and watch the church. Maybe you've been hurt a few times and you're just kind of still here physically, but your heart's not in it. What would this text say to you this morning? What would the Lord say to you? What would your pastor say to you this morning? I would say to you that God's glory is worth it. Get up and get back in the choir and add your part to the song. Look past the hurts. Forgive those who have hurt. You may need to go to someone who's hurt you, or if you've hurt somebody, and make that right. Add your voice to the song, because God's glory is worth more than our offenses. There may be a second group. Maybe you're in the church and you're still singing. You're singing as loud as you can, but you're singing your own song and not the song of the church. What would this text, what would this pastor say to you about that this morning? Are you willing to stop belting out your solo and add your voice to the great song of the church? Are you willing to lay down your song and sing the Lord's song, the church's song, for the glory of God? He is worth it. The last group I would address is maybe you're not even a Christian at all. You have no song. You have no purpose. You're just living life. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus through repentance of your sin and faith in Christ and what He did for you at the cross. Come and lay down your life at His feet and find your purpose. Find the song. You were made for the glory of God. Come to Jesus and live for Him. Be added to His people and find your place in the great song of the Lord.